Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I was in here last night. I've been wondering how I need to start this, but I was in here last night praying. The only thing I felt led to pray, the only thing that freely came from my mouth and from my heart was breakthrough. I was listening to this song, and in the words it says, in your presence and in your power, there's breakthrough. Breakthrough. And so I just ended up walking around this place praying, God, I prayed this morning for somebody in this house. This morning is a breakthrough. I don't know what's going on, but I know that there are many walls that find their ways up into our lives, built by ourselves or by others, and I believe that God wants us to walk in freedom. I believe there's breakthrough. That's kind of where I start. Pastor Bill is on vacation this week, and I love that he gives me the opportunity to share the word. And I had a couple other places that I wanted to go, but God laid in my heart a passage that I'm pretty sure I thought that I knew exactly what he meant by it. I'm like, God, you don't want to go there. I mean, I probably preached on that thing as... See, in this, I preached as a youth pastor in this room for a long time. And some students, if they were still here, I don't know if there's any here that were in my youth ministry, they know that I like to preach on this specific passage. And so when God laid it on my heart, I'm like, God, come on. What else can I say about it? And then he drops something. And I'm like, oh my Lanta. That's powerful. And what it is there are words contained in our Bible. Oh, do you agree with that? Steve, I opened up this week. There's words in there that can literally change your life. I don't know, we've probably heard that before, right? Every sermon, we get up here and we share verses. I about just fell off this thing just now. No, I'm not used to it. Every sermon we go through Scripture, right? We are a Bible-believing church. Amen. All these words can change our life. They're preserved for us so that we can be different. And so when I was thinking about this, words that can change everything, I came across this story as I was studying. This is from a Christian author, a Christian greeting card writer. She has a blog, and I was looking for something that would get us on the right track as we start. This is from Rebecca Barrow Jordan. So I found this story as I was studying, and this is what she writes. She said, "I love words." She said, "They can change your life and the lives of others. Words are my vocation, partly because of some encouragement I received when I was only a senior in high school." She said, "Years ago, a stranger clipped my senior picture from the local paper and enclosed it with a handwritten encouraging note in the mail. And this is what that stranger wrote. You have a beautiful smile." Just five words and a simple gesture that took maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but can you guess I started flashing my pearly whites after that? But it did more than that. She said, "Those thoughtful words made such an impression on me that I decided I could do the same. As a young wife and mom, I started scouring our small town newspaper for articles about people, wedding announcements, death notices, school honorees, anything that warranted a good for you, I'm praying for you, I'm sorry," she wrote it. And this is what she says. "People would call me wondering why a stranger would take the time to send them a note. I wasn't trying to enlist them for anything. My purpose, to encourage them by copying a kind deed someone had done for me. 5 words change this woman's life. 5. And God brought to me this passage of Scripture. I don't know how this is going to work with slides. We do it completely different in here. And you know me, I come with slides all the time. There's like 15 slides. I don't know if you will see a one of them. But they will do their best back there to toggle from the live shot to me, so we'll just see what happens. If you can, just put the title of the slide up there. We're growing. Words that change everything. And what brought me to this passage, Mark 1, 16 through 18, is I'm doing a devotional this year along with my Bible reading. It's a devotional called Fearless, How Jesus Changes Everything. And it's by our former general superintendent, Dr. George Wood. And each day, he writes on it's very small, but each day he takes a verse of Mark and he exposits and goes through it and brings out a truth for you to meditate on. And so I came to this passage of Scripture, Mark 1, 16 through 18. And I think I have it up there if you guys want to. Yeah. Good job, Percy. And one day I came to this, and it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And in this devotional, all he did was say, there's 11 words here. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That completely changed their life. And I love this passage. It's one of my favorites. And I come to it all the time. And when I come to it in my personal study, I say, yes, what an amazing moment. This changes everything for them. Oh my gosh, right? It's so powerful. It's so amazing. This changed everything for them. But when I came to it this morning, God said, no, this doesn't change everything for them. This changes everything for you. These 11 words change things for me. And so, guess what? I've not been able to get off my mind ever since. So this morning, we're going to look at these 11 words. And I'm going to break it down just a little bit different. But can I tell you, these are words that can change your everything. Let that sink in. These are words that can change everything in your life. And there's going to be 4 reasons why we are going to look at these words. But these were life-changing words for them, and I believe they're going to be life-changing for us. And my prayer is that as we go through these simple words, that there is breakthrough in you. That you realize what these words mean for you in 2019. Because they still move. And they still are powerful. And so, we're going to start off with this here. I'm totally uncomfortable not being able to see my slides. Verse, you're just going to have to help me. A reason why we see in the first 3 words here, come, follow me. And what we see is this. These are words of redirection. I was going to call these words of direction, but we get direction all the time. Right? We have friends, we have family, and they have no problem speaking into your life. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. I believe this about this. I believe you posted this on Facebook, and that I believe it applies to this, and you shouldn't post this. Right? We get direction and influence all the time. But I tell you, when he spoke, come, follow me, to these 2 fishermen, it was more than just direction. It was redirection. And I have a definition of what a redirection is. The action of assigning or directing something to a new or different place or purpose. Redirection. But what I want to do, and this is what we're going to see in these 3 words. Amazing things can happen in your life when you decide to move in His direction. Amazing things can happen in your life when you decide to move toward Jesus. It's not just a direction. Jesus isn't showing up with these fishermen and say, hey guys, let's go on a Starbucks run. Right? I mean, obviously there's not a Starbucks, so I'm just trying to, you know. But He's not showing me saying, hey guys, can I have something, right? Hey guys, you know, just come with me. I want to show you. No, He's showing up and saying, come, follow me. And the first thing that we have to understand, the very first word is, this is an invitation to move in His direction. Isn't it amazing that we are invited to go along with Jesus? Isn't it amazing? There's no litmus test. There's no, well, you have to be this, and you have to be the most social, you have to be the most beautiful, you have to be the most extroverted, you have to be successful, you have to be wealthy. No, He just shows up with whatever that you are doing in your life. You remember that moment when He showed up, right? He did the same thing to these two, the same thing to Simon, Peter, and Andrew. He shows up and He says, come. No strings attached, come. It's an invitation to go with Him. And here's what we have to understand about this. Not a lot of people would have got this invitation in Jesus' time. So when He said come, He is coming from like a teacher, a rabbi, a master, to a prospective student, and He's inviting them on something. See, they were told at some point in their life, hey guys, you've done great. You know, as they went through school, they learned a lot of the Bible and a lot of the Old Testament and the Torah, and they would memorize it. But at some point in time, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, or who were here, were told, hey, you guys are great, but go home and learn your family trade. You guys have done great. You've learned so well, but it's probably better for you if you become fishermen, like your parents. So here they are. I'm sure this was probably their plan, their purpose for their life. Every day, I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna go. We're gonna go to our boats. We're gonna get our nets ready. We're gonna cast in there. Some days are gonna be great. Some days are gonna be awful. Some days, just like this, we're gonna stay up all night long and not catch a certain thing at all. It doesn't matter what we're fishing for. We're not gonna do it. Some days we're gonna come home with a load. That's their plan. That's their purpose. But on this day, something changed for them. They got an invitation that they never thought they would have ever received in their life. A rabbi, a master, a teacher, which is what Jesus was called in the Word almost more than anything else, showed up one day and said, I'm going to give you an invitation. And this invitation is going to forever change your life. Forever. And so it's an invitation that they didn't expect to hear. They didn't expect to hear it. But Jesus showed them up to invite them into something different. Here's the other thing. Jesus changed how this was done. Okay, if you were a rabbi in Jesus' time, you wouldn't go out necessarily and look for students. They would come to you. If you were a big-time rabbi, say I was wanting to learn something from Pastor Bill. I would go and I'd find Pastor Bill, wherever he's at, and I'd say, Pastor, can I follow you? Can I follow you? And I'm going to submit my application, to be your intern. And here's what he would do. He would sit me down, and he would go through my life, and he would try to understand if I was worthy. One, can you do it? Can you learn what I've learned? Can you live like how I've lived? Is there potential in your life to take my teachings and move them forward? And guess what? If he had more than the opportunity to say, no, I don't think you are worthy. Go home and learn your family business. Go home and do a trade. Here's how Jesus changed everything. Jesus is the one moving and inviting others to follow Him. He flipped the script on everything. Very few rabbis in His time would give this invitation, so you could see why they were really interested, right? Simon, Andrew, Peter, wait. You're inviting me to do what I was told I would never be able to do ever in my life. And guess what? That's the invitation that we get with Him. We are invited for a new purpose and a new plan. We are invited not just for direction, but for redirection. And amazing things happen when we move toward Jesus. Amazing things. And this wasn't the only... See, Jesus... He gave these invitations out all the time. Let me just take you through some of the other disciples. How many disciples did He have? 12. Good job. Great. If I had candy, I'd throw it at you. Did he invite others? Guess what? He went a little further down the road from Simon Peter and Andrew. Guess who he found? James and John, who another gospel writer wrote were partners of them. And did he just say, hey guys, I got these guys to follow me, I'm going to skip you? No, Jesus saw something in them and he stopped and said, as they did, come and follow me. What happened? They left. And we get this from them. Their father was in the boat with them. And they dropped everything and left him and went and followed. Go a little bit longer. And it says, a little while later, he was walking along the sea and he saw a tax collector sitting at a booth. Can I tell you what? Tax collectors like working for the IRS, if you didn't know. It's a horrible, well, in most of our eyes, it'd be a horrible career. You're basically stealing from people to benefit the oppressive government that is over you. So here's Matthew. I guarantee he had the greatest reputation of all time. He's also called Levi. But guess what? A rabbi comes up to him and gives him what invitation? Come. Come. Follow me. Lake Ekera. We have an invitation this morning. If they're invited, we are invited. Jesus changed everything. Everything. I remember my invitation. I didn't realize this until I was studying this week, that 25 years ago this July is when I got an invitation to a summer camp at Spring Mill. And I remember that was not on my agenda that summer. In fact, I didn't want to go at all. I shared locker with a pastor's kid. This guy was awesome. He was a singer just like me, and we had fun. We were in choir. We did all stuff together. He was a great kid. But, man, he worked on me all year. You're coming to my dad's week at camp at Spring Mill. Oh, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, are you coming? Sure. Or I'll be there. No, I'm not. And it got to that week, and I had plenty of plans that week. I made sure my week was full. And I got home one night. On a Sunday night, I got home, and I can't remember this so clearly. My mom had my bag packed and ready by the door. And she said, you are going. You have no choice. I went. That week I was saved. That week I was called into ministry. That was my invitation to something different. Do you remember yours? That day when somebody invited you, or when Jesus showed up into your life and invited you to do something different? Amazing things happen when we move in His direction. But we have to look at the other two words here. Firstly, I'm just going to continue, and if you see that I'm on there, I'm not going to worry about it. The other two here. He doesn't say come, but he says what? Follow me. I mean, or you have to understand, there was a certain direction that he wanted them to go. And this defines the depth of the redirection that was going to happen. What he meant something specific when he said, follow me. It doesn't just mean get in the car and go where I'm going, right? You know, some of you will have lunch together today, and you'll say, well, where do you want to go? I don't know, right? That conversation was the funnest ones of all time. Where do you want to go? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. I like everything. Do you really? In fact, you really don't. Because what you're saying is, I don't want to go to Costco, I don't want to go to this, but I'll go to this. But you're saying, I don't care. And you'll pick a place and you'll say, do you want to follow me there? Sure, I will follow you. And what will you do? You'll get in the car with them or behind them, and you'll just change location. Or can I tell you what? This, when Jesus came up to him and said, come follow me, this wasn't just getting in a different boat. This wasn't just a change of location. It was a change of vocation. He had something specific, and this is what it would look like. He was inviting them to become who he was. Ray Vanderlaan, he describes this process this way. He says, or about this invitation. He says they listen and they question. This is being called by a rabbi and being a disciple. He said they listen and question. They respond when questioned. They follow without knowing where the rabbi is taking them, knowing that the rabbi has good reason for bringing him to the right place for his teaching to make the most sense. So they are following him everywhere. They are looking at how he interacts with people. They are seeing how he tips when he goes into a Steak and Shake. They are seeing how he applies the word in every single area. It is total commitment. Did it say they dropped some of the things and followed him? All. They dropped all. They dropped everything. They dropped what they were doing at that time, what they thought that they'd be doing for all their life. They dropped and they followed Jesus. Total commitment. Everything in life for them became secondary. And this is the redirection that Jesus was speaking to, and this is the redirection that He invites us on. The same is true for us. He didn't save us to leave us where we are. I'll never forget when somebody spoke that into my life. He doesn't save us to leave us where we are. He died for us and was raised for us so that He could invite us to no longer live for ourselves but to live for Him. God reminded me the other day. I had this thing where if I'm having a devotional time or something, I will write a note. You know, if God says something, if He lays something strongly on my heart, I will put it in my phone. I will put it in my notes so I never lose it. And so I was looking for actually this outline to this sermon because I started it a few weeks back. And I came across this particular entry, just happened upon it, December 10th, 2018. This is something that God shared with me personally. And this is what I wrote. This is what He said to me. If you always do what you've always done, you will always be where you have always been. If you always do what you have always done, you will always be where you have always been. Isn't this what He's saying to them? Guys, you thought you were going to be in the boat. You thought this was going to be what you were going to do. And you were completely probably, we don't know. We don't know if they, you know, every time they cast, you know, something in the net, they thought, oh man, is there something other than this? Have you ever thought that when you're in your job, when you're doing what you're doing, or you say there has to be more? Nobody ever has asked that question. I'm completely content with everything I'm doing. Well, can I tell you, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be where you have always been. If you're saying, Steve, I'm tired of being stuck. Amazing things happen when we move toward Jesus. You won't be where you've always been when you totally commit yourself to Him. He didn't save us to leave us where we are. So redirection only occurs. Who wants redirected? Redirection only occurs when we accept the invitation to move in His direction. You're saying, hey, I'm ready to be a redirected. Maybe you need to move again. We come to this next word. And one word. So it's come, follow me. And what's the next one? And. I did a study about the word and. You're going to say, why in the world would you do that? Well, this is what and means. I know we probably have some English majors. Amy Stubbs has an English degree. But and is used as a function word to indicate what? Connection. Used to join sentence elements of the same grammatical rank or function. So I'm like, okay, how many times do we use the word and? Have you ever wondered that? I'm probably the only one who ever asked that question. How many times do we use it during the day? Well, this is what I found. According to the Oxford English Corpus, which is a collection of texts in the English language comprising over 2 billion words. Did you even know this was a thing? One of the most commonly used words in English is the word and. Raise your hand if you would agree. It ranks fifth, the 100 most common words. But I can tell you, it might be one of the most important words in this entire scripture. And why? Because it is a word of promise. Why? Because and points to something bigger. This is a promise that your life is tied to something more. The "and" in the Scripture connects Simon Peter and Andrew to a much larger meaning for their existence. He didn't just say, "Hey, follow me," and that's it. Let's leave it there for just a week, a month, a year. Just follow me. Just see what I'm doing. He says, no, and there's more. Okay, if there was no "and," they would just be followers, and at some point in time, they would go back and be better fishermen. Right? Man, you know, this is how we should do it now. We saw him do it, right? So this is how we are going to do it. And, you know, thank you, Lord, for that year and a half, that 3.5 years where we got to see you do some better things. So now we have become better fishermen than what we ever have been. No, he said, come follow me, and there's something bigger here. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to connect you something to a higher purpose, to a higher calling, to a higher plan. Can I tell you what? Each and every one of us in this building, we have an "and." When Jesus shows up into our life and He invites us on this amazing journey of redirection, changing us as we follow Him, He doesn't just leave it there. He says, wait, there's more. There is an "and." Hallelujah. It's one of those powerful words here. Simon Peter had an "and." If you just look, right? He was one of the fishermen there that day. This day when Jesus visited him, he was Simon. At one point in time, we know that Jesus said, you are no longer Simon, you are Peter. We know that Jesus gave him, and we know what? We have the awesome benefit of looking at the entire story, don't we? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're excited about it. I can really tell. We know that he was a part of he's one of the 12, but he was a part of the 3, inner circle, right? Peter, James, John. Do we know that he was invited along with Jesus on the Mount for the transfiguration? Wouldn't that be cool to see? Nobody? I'm excited about it. I wish I was invited. These 3 were the only ones allowed to follow Jesus when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. How many thought that would be really, really? No? Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. He's one of the ones invited to come as Jesus prayed in the garden before he was arrested. You see kind of where this is going? There was an "and." He became one of the most important leaders in the early church. On Pentecost Sunday, he stood up in the amazement of everybody watching and preached a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people that day gave their heart to the Lord. And yet on this day he was a fisherman. But Jesus said, come and follow me so you could do what you do better. He said, come follow me and I'm going to give you an "and." Your life is connected to something bigger than what you think or know or imagine. I'm so thankful that God gave me an "and." Aren't you thankful? See, but some of us in this room today, we forgot that there is an "and." We stuck. You know, man, have you ever been there and you're just kind of frustrated? You just kind of do this whole time? I'm the only one? And you say, man, I wish there was something more. Here's your reminder. There is an "and" for your life this morning. There's an "and." One of the most powerful words here. There's an "and" for all of us. Jesus has bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves. And the Bible is full of these promises. See if you remember this one, or Exodus 9:16. But I have raised you up for this purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You think that extends to us today? Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works for which God prepared in advance for us to do. You don't think that's an "and"? But there's more. So when Jesus invites us to move in His direction, it is always tied to something bigger. Always. Moving on. Come follow me and... We have this next phrase here. And I will make you. Why are these words important? Because these are words of transformation. These are words of transformation. What does make mean? So you know, I love to redefine things. Make is to cause something to exist or to come about, to form by putting parts together or by combining substances, to construct, to create. Everybody agree that we know that? Or guess what the Greek word means? Same thing. I just big word study on it just come up to the conclusion. It means the exact same thing as our word make. But think about that. See, first, there's one word that we can't forget when it comes to this word of transformation, and that's the very first one. What does he say? I. Only one person is able to bring the deep change in our lives for us to do what we need to do. Only one. Jesus would say, come follow me, and there's more. But when you come follow me, I'm going to have some other guy do it. No, he says, come follow me and I will. He's the only one who can bring revolution. There's no shift of blame or authority. This is a declaration that I am the one fully in charge in your life, and I am the one fully empowered to do a work in you that nobody else could do. I am the one who can change everything. And I am the one who's inviting you on this journey. I am the one who is calling you. I'm the one who's going to repurpose you. I'm the one who's going to redirect you. It is I. My Father has equipped me. I'm doing what He says, and I'm the one that's going to do it. I will make you. It's a declaration of power and transformation for your life. Amazing things can happen when we move in His direction, and that's because He's the one that can bring the change needed to happen in your life, in my life. I will. I'll move on. There's also another really important, the next word is just as important. I will. Can I say what that word means? This is the certainty of change. The certainty of transformation. He doesn't say, I might. He doesn't say, I can. Because that would mean, I have the power to, I have the ability to, I have the capacity to do it. That doesn't mean necessarily I will do it. I can do it. No, he says, come follow me. There's something bigger, and I will do it. Who needs certainty in this house this morning? I will. This is a word of certainty, because there. Or I'll just move on. There's confidence in this verse for each and every one of us. And I found this interesting. Did you know that a rabbi in Jesus' time would turn away a student or disciple? I kind of talked about this earlier. If the thought was that they weren't able to become like him or make the commitment necessary to follow him. Just imagine that. Man, service was great today. Preached a sermon on Jesus. It was awesome. I gave my life to it, but Jesus rejected me. Because I wasn't able to commit to him fully the way I thought, you know. I mean, just imagine that. See, these fishermen, we don't know if they ever wanted to become a rabbi, because that was the top thing then. And they went to a rabbi and said, Rabbi, can I follow you? And rabbi looked at them and said, no, you need to be fishermen because you can't make the commitment unnecessary. So if you aren't able to change, I mean, just imagine this in this time. If you aren't able to change yourself, you weren't allowed to be a part of the club. But here's what's so powerful about what Jesus has done. Jesus didn't call them based on their potential to change. He called them based off of His ability to change them. Doesn't that change everything? He's no longer saying, Steve, come, follow me, but I might leave you somewhere if you are not willing to go. Or, Father Steve, you don't have the ability to do this, so I'm going to leave you there. He said, no, Steve, come follow me. And why? Because I have the power and the ability to change you when you cannot change yourself. In Jesus' time, it was completely different. A disciple could be left there. They didn't have the potential to be better. But Jesus came to these fishermen on that day and said, I'm changing everything. The one who is inviting you, the one who is calling you, is fully empowered by the Holy Spirit and by my Father God to change you. And that's all that matters. You can't do it, but I can. I will make your confidence in that verse. Can I tell you what? You can have confidence this morning that God will do what He needs to do in you through His Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have confidence that He can change you. But Steve, I'm struggling every day. Guess what? You can have confidence. Some things don't happen in a moment. Some things happen over a process of following Him. When I was saved, some things went away that day. But I can tell you, some things are still around later, 25 years later. He's still doing a work. He's still doing a thing in my heart and in my life. But I have something. I don't even know where I'm at. This transformation is in all of us. So He says, I will make what? You. And as we see, that invitation went beyond the two fishermen. That invitation went to others. That invitation went to others. It went to others. He said, come, follow me. I'm going to change everything. Come. You, Brett. Gene, hallelujah. Right? I will... Have you ever looked at that verse and thought, he's talking directly to me? I will make you. This transformation is for all of us. And he can make I'm so glad that there is no litmus test. It doesn't just rely on the most successful, wealthy, beautiful, the most talented, the most intellectual. Hallelujah, right? No, Steve, I'm all those things. Well, hallelujah for you. He has the power to change y'all. So that's why he's personally inviting all to come. I know. I mean, this is stuff we know, right? We learned this probably in Sunday school. We know He is all-powerful. And we know He can change anybody. That means He can change you. Let me skip a little bit here. Ray Vanderlaan, he puts this way. This is a quote from him. He says, we must believe that Jesus calls us to be disciples because He knows He can so instruct, empower, and fill us with His Spirit that we can be like Him. We must believe. Our former General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, George Wood, he says this. He says, it might not happen all at once, but we can be sure that it will happen. And it's what he says. From the Gospels, it is clear that the making didn't happen all at once. He may have to demolish some other stuff in your life in order to make room for His splendid purposes, but you will love the makeover of His finished work in you. We know that Simon Peter was volatile. He was unreliable. We know that one of his favorite things that happened to him is he was rebuked all the time. I rebuke you. We all love a good rebuking every now and then, don't we? But we know this, he went from that to a leader in the church. Look at, look at John. We know John was a fisherman, a partner of Peter. But what did John end up becoming? He became the author of 5 books of the New Testament and one of the key early leaders in the church in Jerusalem. What does that mean for me? These words are life-changing because the same makeover that happens in them is the same makeover that can happen in us. Right? Let's go to this last one here. All of these words are life-changing. Amen? But this one too. He says, and I will make you what? I will make you fishers of men. And these are words of power. Why are these words so powerful? Well, here's why. Only Jesus can take what you offer Him and build on it. Think about that. The only thing we know about these guys' talents is what? The only natural ability that we are clued into before they met Jesus is what they were, fishermen. So they knew one thing, just like their dad. They knew how to fish. Do we all agree? That's the only natural. We know that they could do that. I don't know how successful. I don't know how big their business was. I don't know if they were the most demanded fishermen of their time. I don't know. Because really, that's not the point. The point is, Jesus says, and I will make you something more than that. What? I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, I will make you better fishermen. He doesn't say, you'll go from sea bass to, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know enough about fish to even make a good illustration of it. Yeah, I was just now going, is this fish bigger? I don't know. Just okay, whatever, it's smaller, and then you follow Jesus, and it's bigger. I mean, you know, he didn't say, hey, I'm gonna make you better, and you will catch bigger. He gave them a different purpose. He gave them a higher calling. He gave them a higher plan. He said, you're no longer just gonna provide food for people. You're going to go around and provide the gospel. You're not just going to give them sustenance and stuff that they can live off of. You're going to give them something that's going to change their lives forever. I'm not just going to make you better at what you do. I'm going to make you better at something that you never thought you'd be able to do in your life. Just give me what you have. That's really all he's saying. Just give me. Just follow me. Just give me what you have. Whatever your talents are, whatever your abilities are, whatever you think that you are good at, I don't care if somebody said it's not good enough. Just give it to me and I can build it and change it into what you need to be for what I'm calling you to do. Only Jesus. Amen? Only Jesus. And that's why these are words of power. This plays out in another portion of Scripture. How many of you remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Nope. Gene knows it, right? That's what I remember. I mean, that song. But it says that Zacchaeus was a what? He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, which means he was even better than Matthew at stealing from the people. So it means he was a very, very popular man. He was short, right? So when he heard that Jesus was coming into town, he's like, I'm short, I can't see him. I better what? I better climb a... Somebody needs to be singing that song. Right? So he climbed up a sycamore tree. For some reason that day, he's like, there has to be something more to my life. Something more, and I want something to change. I'm tired of being stuck doing the same thing where I get ridiculed, where I get torn down. I'm blessed myself. I'm extremely wealthy, but the people hate me. There has to be something more. Maybe this rabbi that I've heard about, all these miracles, him raising people from the dead, people being healed, people being forgiven, maybe this rabbi can change my life. So although I'm short, I'm going to go up. I'm going to move toward Jesus and get to where I can see him. And we know that when he did that, what happened? Jesus said, come down. Is that not another invitation? He's like, I'm going to come down and I want to eat with you, right? The table of the Lord is important throughout Scripture. Not going to get into why, but it is extremely important. But we know this, it made the others mad. Jesus, he's going to eat with that. He's the chief sinner of all. He's the chief tax collector. He's the chief IRS agent. He's the chief one. He's the biggest one. He's going to eat with him. We're grumbling. I don't know. We're mad about this. But because, right, even Zacchaeus had an and. Jesus said, come down, I'm going to eat with you. That must have been a life. How many times do you think he was rejected? Nobody wanted to eat with him. How many empty tables did he sit out wondering, everybody hates me, nobody likes me? How many lonely moments was he there, you know, thinking, I'm wealthy, but I cannot spend this all by myself. I wish I had a family. And so when Jesus sits with him, what does he say? I give half of my possessions to the poor, and I will pay back those I have cheated four times beyond that. What? Why is he saying that? This is what I have. This is all I know. Take it. and Jesus could build on it. How many of you think that what you have is not enough? Lord, I come to you all the time and I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough ability. This is all I have. That's all He wants. Some of you are still holding on to the net this morning. He's already invited you. He's already called you. He's already promised transformation. He already has the power to back it up. And He's invited you many times. He hasn't came once. He's came more than that, saying, come, follow me, move toward me, come with me. And you're like, okay, this sounds great, but this is all I have. Surely that's not what you want. He wants you. He can take all of the here I am and all of this is all I have, and He can build on them and make them into something more. That's what He does. He can take the one thing you're doing, and He can build on it with a better purpose and a better plan for your life. Amen? Only Jesus can. If the worship team can come this morning. I'm about done. I'll skip through some more stuff. As He promised to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, He is promising us, I will make you into something greater so that through my power you can achieve something greater. Amen? So there's a response. From us. If these words are truly powerful, if these words can truly change everything, then there is a response, right? There is a response for them. What did they have to do? See, we get to read the rest of their story because of how they responded. Right? It's in here because what? Because eventually they dropped everything. They said, okay, here I am. I've been told that I don't amount to anything, but here I am, Lord. And I'll go. And they dropped the nets, and they left their dads in the boats. Simon, Matthew, the tax collector, he left his table there. Have you ever wondered how much money was left there? I have no idea if he sat in that table all day and cheated all those people. It's nothing now. Here I am. The question this morning is whether we will let it change us. See, I come to this scripture all the time. And all the time, my perspective is, yeah, that is so powerful for them. I mean, imagine how awesome that was. But today, maybe we should just look a little bit inward and say, this is so powerful for me. These 11 words that changed them, these are 11 words that can change me. Mark 1:18 says, at once, it didn't say, and they put it in their journal, and they would meditate on it for months upon months. And He came back and visited again, and they put that in their journal as well. It says, at once. I'm done. I'm done being stuck. I'm done having the same thing. I'm done doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I am done. I am ready for the and that He has in my life. I am ready for something bigger. I am ready. There has to be more to my existence on this planet. And guess what? He already did the work that needs to be done. He's already said that there is a more. We just have to be able to say, I accept that. That's for me to take. That's really it. Today, in Jesus' name, I'm laying down. I'm dropping everything. I don't know what kind of net that you are holding on to, but maybe you need to be a little bit more like Zacchaeus and get into a tree and see him from a different perspective. Why? So that he can look at you again and say, hey, come down again. There's something else that you need to drop. There's something else that I'm going to sit with you and pour into your life. That's what's so amazing about following Jesus. It's a continual relationship where He shows you and you grow and He shows you again and you grow and you make a mistake and He picks you right back up and says, this is what it's going to be about and I'm going to teach you again. And you say, well, I don't get it. Well, He shows it to you again in a new way. Well, it's an amazing relationship with Christ that we get, and it's an invitation. Can I tell you what? You will not regret this morning moving in His direction. You'll never, ever regret it. Amen? But again, what's your response?